in the valley. Personally, it's not somewhere I really ever desire to be. The highs and the lows of life are often unpredictable, and we can never really quite predict the where's or the when's of the next valley that might be before us. Throughout the Bible, the term valley is used metaphorically to describe times of difficulty, struggle, and deep despair. The valleys of life are full of shadows, darkness, and the things that creep into our lives and our souls and our whole beings uninvited. The book of Job is one that tells the story of pain and suffering, but also one of faithful obedience. Job was a good and righteous man who had accumulated wealth and prosperity as he lived. Suddenly, Satan accused Job of trusting God only because of that fortune and wealth. Job's life as he knew it was destroyed in a moment by Satan as the evil one tried to put a wedge between Job and the Lord, proposing that Job only trusted God in the good times. His family, his children, his property, his livelihood, all destroyed. Job quickly fell from a metaphorical mountaintop of life to the trenches of a deep, deep valley in just an instant, just like that. He was attacked physically with sores covering his entire body, and we read that Job suffered internally, dwelling on trying to really know what God was doing, trying to figure out God's reasons as his life became seemingly out of control and his pain so great. Job questioned, yet he remained faithful. As Job endured all of this, the people in his life, the important people, even his wife, suggested that he might curse God. Eventually, he was at a crossroads. He could give up on God, or he could choose to draw closer, trust in him, and gain strength from him. Job continued to trust God, even when he didn't understand. Three of Job's friends came to visit him, and they sought to provide comfort amidst this serious and unimaginable trial and season of suffering. They tried their very best to convince Job that he was suffering due to his own sin, and then they worked to persuade him towards repentance. Three men sat with Job in silence for 3 days, we learn, trying to convince Job that he was being punished. Even though his friends had good intentions to comfort Job, he was left suffering and facing judgment and condemnation. Job persisted and faithfully appealed directly to God for his hope. A younger man came to visit Job and disagreed with what the three friends had previously said. He reminded Job that God is much greater than we are, that we cannot understand all that God allows, that our role is to remain faithful even in the seasons of hardship. Job had been lost in his misery, lost in his questions of why he was experiencing such unimaginable loss, such unimaginable pain and suffering. He just didn't understand, and he pleaded. Have you ever been at such a crossroads, at a point of suffering that seems so intense that you simply can't make it make sense? Have you questioned how God would allow such a thing in your life? Job's story might be one that you can relate to in some way or another. For Job, we get to know the ending and hope to learn from his story. You see, God himself, in his perfect timing, did indeed speak to Job through a storm, rebuking the three friends. And he also asked Job several questions that Job, nor really any of us or any human being, could possibly know the answer to. And as he did this series of questioning, it helped Job to recognize that God, he truly has the best of ways, that even in suffering and in the unknown, he must rest in faith of all the Lord has planned, and that he must remain humble and know his place before God, to trust God for who he is, rather than what he does. And to know that the faithful are never outside of God's love. We know that as Job humbled himself, his life was restored. And as we just heard, Job lived a good life And he lived a lot of his life on this metaphorical mountaintop. He was prosperous. He was successful. He had a wife and children. He had property. Job had truly what many of us desire and long for, until he didn't. He lost his worldly possessions. He lost his children. He suffered. His physical health left him as he was covered in pain. He had no idea why he was suffering so much. And it's said that for Job, even in the face of all of these struggles, one of his greatest trials, one of his greatest internal struggles, was not being able to understand why God would allow him to struggle the way that he was. He went from the mountain, from the mountaintop, where it can feel really easy sometimes to give God the glory, to truly praise God and trust in his plan. Job went from this mountaintop to the deepest of valleys, full of anguish, grief, and unimaginable pain and suffering. In the valley, it's a hard, hard place to be when we come upon suffering close up and firsthand. When we ourselves are suffering, or when we bear witness to a loved one in a season of great hardship, it hurts. It hurts, and sometimes this kind of pain, it can cause us to question, to doubt, to feel really far from God. It can help us right along in feeling alone in our circumstances that we didn't invite. We live in a fallen world, and it is our reality that we will face time in the valley in our lives. Accepting this is something that can really help us to stay faithful, to lean in on the firm foundation the Lord does provide. But let's face some facts. First, God is big enough. God is big enough to handle our questions. God is big enough to handle our doubts. And realistically, there are no secrets from God because he knows our thoughts. He knows our suffering, our pain. He knows those things even when we can't properly label it. He knows our deepest desires. He knows what's in our hearts even when we can't name it ourselves. Christ knows our stories even before we do. Author Philip Yancey, in his book Disappointment with God, says this. One bold message in the book of Job is that you can say anything to God. Throw at him your grief, your anger, your doubt, your bitterness, your betrayal, your disappointment. He can absorb them all. As often as not, spiritual giants of the Bible are shown contending with God. They prefer to go away limping like Jacob rather than to shut God out. In this respect, the Bible prefigures a tenet of modern psychology. You can't really deny your feelings or make them disappear, so you might as well express them. God can deal with every human response save one. He cannot abide the response I fall back on instinctively and attempt to ignore him or treat him as though he doesn't exist. That response never once occurred to Job. It's vital that even in our walks in the valley, that we keep our foundation firm in the Lord. We can be obedient, knowing that God is good all the time. We can remember that truth even when things don't go according to our plans. And as we're journeying through life, we will have questions. We'll need to seek him along the way, and that's fine. It's very normal. We can work with intention to address our wanderings, to address our questions, but not get stuck in them. About a decade ago, I was in a valley of deep suffering. This was a season of painful circumstances that truly often felt like they would not end. I recall standing upstairs, and if you've been around here for a little while, you might remember a check-in desk. It was painted like Noah's Ark. And I was standing there one morning, probably looking as if I was in pain. And a sister in Christ stood before me, and she shared these words of encouragement. By his wounds, we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. It says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. And this very moment, that still gives me goosebumps. By his wounds, we are healed. His punishment brought us peace. This was a moment in time for me. It's forever etched in my heart, in my mind, and it was a time that I needed healing and peace as I watched my daughter struggle. I watched her struggle to find her own health, to find peace, to find healing and the joy of childhood. It was a simple yet very powerful reminder that we can be healed because he died for us. Yes, we still live in a very broken world that includes a lot of hard things, but our Savior redeems and can truly make things new and good again. While the specifics of that particular season and valley for my family and for me are now safely in the rearview mirror, there are still times that I must be reminded that by his wounds, we are healed. And I even find it helpful sometimes to substitute that word we for a name. Sometimes it's my own. Sometimes it's maybe as I'm lifting someone in prayer. That by his wounds, we are healed. And it's a reminder that because of what has already been done on the cross, we can be healed by his mighty power in his perfect timing. And while that doesn't always mean that we won't find and feel real and deep pain, it does mean that we have great hope. What can we do when we're in the valley? How do we remain in his firm foundation when the pressure and the strains brought by pain and suffering are palpable and real? When we suffer, what can we do? There might not be an exact instruction guide. I truly wish there was. But there are things that we can begin with. We can surrender control, surrender the fight to find control. We can seek the Lord. We can accept the waiting that often comes when we're in the valley. And we can know that God is close. We can know that God deeply cares for us. We can learn a lot reflecting back to Job, who suffered greatly in a whole variety of ways across all the domains of his life, including his own agonizing over trying to understand. The NLT Life Application Study says God alone knew the purpose behind Job's suffering, and yet he never explained it to Job. In spite of this, Job never gave up on God, even in the midst of his suffering. He never placed his hope in his experience, his wisdom, his friends, or his wealth. Job focused on God. Job showed the kind of trust we are to have. When everything is stripped away, we recognize that God is all we ever really had. We should not demand that God explain everything. God gives us himself, but not all the details of his plan. God is still good all the time, even when we don't understand it. In times when he might feel far away, when we don't understand what is going on, we can know all things are possible in him and that he does indeed have a perfect plan. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." The Lord has a plan for you, for me, for all of us. Let this soak in. Plans for welfare, not for evil. We have a future and we have hope. We can't know what the Lord does, so let that free you. Let that give you hope that the Lord has plans for your welfare You don't need to be in control of all the things. In fact, it's impossible as humans to do that. And we often rob ourselves of all of our joy and all of our energy as we die trying. We don't have to have the burden to fix it all. And we can take steps towards action and healing. Sometimes surrendering control can come in the form of accepting help from Christ followers when we need it. I believe that sometimes we find Jesus through his people and in relationship with others. In times of pain and suffering, it is not uncommon at all to feel quite alone, to feel isolated. You can turn to the Lord. You can know that you are never alone, and we can also be intentional in letting other people in. We need not suffer alone. As we do so, we can surrender to the fact that we can't control it all. We can accept loving support from others, even when, especially when the season is hard, when things feel out of control, even when we might be tempted to just take a back seat and traverse the valley alone. We can be intentional about allowing other people into our hearts, into our lives, into our chaos, so that we don't find ourselves lost when we need God the most. When we need God and his people the most, we need not be alone. But allowing other people in, it requires humility and it requires vulnerability. But it truly can help us to stay focused when we might otherwise lose our way. God wants his people to encourage one another and build each other up. And here's the thing. We have to be willing to be on both sides of this command. We seek to build each other up. We seek to love other people well. And we need to be able to let others in, to allow ourselves to be built up by those who are in our lives. It's okay to accept help. If you're in a season of struggle, it's okay to seek pastoral counseling, professional support in times of strain and struggle. And when we're in the valley, we can also seek the Lord. In times of suffering, whether we are experiencing it directly, whether watching a loved one amidst it, it's so, so easy to feel isolated. When we hurt, we feel alone. Praise God that it's not the case, and that in Christ, we're never alone. Turn to him in prayer. Seek his wisdom. Discern your next steps. Acts 17:27 says, God did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. We can seek him. He's not far. We need not be alone. We can seek God. Cry out to God. He hears prayers. In times of grief, cry out to God. As you see and experience all of the injustices of this world, cry out to God. In times of my own despair, when I was facing that uninvited suffering in my own family life, I learned something. I learned that I have to guard my heart. Because in those times, it's really easy to get stuck there. It's really easy to get rooted deeply in feelings of frustration and anger and hurt and confusion, because pain and suffering is disorienting. When you're facing hard around you, it's easy to get lost. And as we heard earlier, we can't really deny those painful feelings and our emotional experience. So go ahead, get down in the trenches. Acknowledge the ick you feel. And then try to work through it the very best way you can. And one note here. Go ahead and get in a daily practice of seeking the Lord. Spend time each day in devotion and prayer, reading the Bible, and knowing his truth. This helps create that firm foundation that will be there when the turbulence of life presents itself. We can actively strengthen that foundation and our relationship with Christ so that when the next valley appears, and we know that it will, that we can really find support in the foundation that he provides rather than going astray. We can lean back on what we know to be true, on what we know to be good. We can be intentional in how we live and build our spiritual lives with Jesus and stay with him as we journey along the darker parts of our walk. If we're honest with ourselves about our thinking, if we're honest with ourselves about our doubts, we can open up to deeper belief. And when we build the firm foundation in the good times, when we're on that mountaintop, that same foundation will support us in the seasons of strife. We must know that we truly can go to Jesus to seek wisdom, guidance, to seek grace, to seek peace, and that we can be free in that place. But if we're not careful and intentional, questions and wanderings and ponderings can turn to indifference. They can turn to sin. We can and we should go to our Father with our questions, go to the Father with our wanderings so that we can process them properly, internally, even with others around you. Go to the Father so that you don't end up stuck and lost deep within a valley. We can be intentional as we seek the Lord to recognize and accept that the weight of the world is not on our shoulders because God's got the map. He's got the plan. We just might not be privy to it all at one time. And yes, that can be tough. When we are in the valley, we also have to accept waiting. You might be able to see it on my face right now. I do not like to wait. I don't even really like to wait for good things, let alone in a season of struggle. Waiting is hard. It is hard to wait, and there are times that periods spent in waiting can feel like the longest of seasons and the lowest of valleys in our lives. Especially when you're waiting out a season of struggle and you don't understand his timing or the plan. In seasons of waiting, a valley can truly feel endless. Joyce Meyer writes this on waiting. Sometimes when we pray long and hard about a situation in our life without receiving any answers, we just learn to live with it. We go about our business wondering if or when God will send the answer. But God does hear those prayers, and he's working out the answers even though we may not know all the details. Our situation can suddenly change, quickly and without warning. But one thing is certain. Before God moves suddenly, we will wait. Waiting for answers is a fact of life. Nobody gets out of it. So the question is not if we'll wait, but rather how we will wait. Let's remember that God is the perfect author of our plan. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." God works for the good of those who love him. He has a plan for every single one of us. He has a plan for every single one of us, and it is his plan. And he's not bound by time as we humans are. The truth is, we have to work to accept the wait. God is with us all the time, through the good, through the bad, until eternity, including the times of waiting. And in the Bible, there are many stories of waiting. Some of our best-known biblical characters endured trials and suffering and very long periods of waiting. We can think of Sarah and Abraham, who waited 25 years for their promised child. Noah waited over 120 years for the flood to come after he built the ark. King David waited for years and years, full of suffering and trial, to become king. We see across scripture, and maybe even from your own circumstances, following periods of waiting, that some of God's best work comes through or after the periods of waiting. Our faith is tested. We have to grow in patience. We have to grow in patience, and our faith is tested as we wait. And in the tough times of waiting, we often pray to God for deliverance, pray to the end of the waiting or for the outcome that we really want to see when we want to see it. We petition in prayer for our wants, our desires, for our needs to be met. It was deep, deep in a valley of my child suffering that I learned more about who God is than I ever did, and I believe probably that I ever will, on any mountaintop. It was in the darkness of a valley, in cold and sterile hospital hallways, that I learned more about who God is and just how much he loves and cares for me than I've ever learned on a mountaintop. And even as I say that, I know it doesn't negate the pain and the suffering that was a part of it. What many of us fail to realize is that Scripture doesn't say that Jesus will do what we ask and pray for right now, if at all. Except that he is bigger and knows more than you do. Except that God is bigger and knows more than you do. In fact, 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." I think that's true, because time does fly when you're having fun, and a day can seem endless when it's full of pain. His timing is his and his alone, and it's perfect, despite our human disdain for waiting. And as we wait or experience suffering, we can know indeed that God is close and that he cares. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Certified counselor and writer Jolene Underwood says this, "For the brokenhearted, God gives nearness. God is not removed from knowing about the pain or from our experience of pain. He is always available and close to those who suffer. Not only is he near, but he stays with us and will help us get through. He is not surprised or deterred, no matter how deep the brokenness feels. God gives us the courage we need to breathe again. Emotional pain sometimes leaves us speechless. The psalm provides words to remind our hearts to talk to God when we can't find the words ourselves. God's presence with us in our messiest moments is of great comfort. When he feels far, know that he is close. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed," and that is an incredible visual. The Lord is close to you. He will rescue you in times that feel crushing. God is always close. Accept that truth, know that truth, internalize that truth right now. Internalize the truth that God is always close, so that when you find yourself lost in a valley, you can lean on that truth. The fallen nature of this world can sometimes tell us otherwise, but know that God is always near. He cares for you, even when you don't understand his plans. It can be tough to understand and accept that even the most faithful Jesus followers are not exempt from the pain and suffering of this world. But hold this truth close to your heart, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And as you walk away today, whether you are on a mountaintop or you are in a valley right now, this morning, you are in it. Hold on to the truth that God is the same God. Whether you are on a mountaintop, he also walks with you through the valley. Same God who blesses you with all of the people and the experiences and the possessions that you cherish the most is the very same God who will carry you through the valley. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Friends, we are not alone. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign and you are good all the time. We thank you that we need not bear the burden. We're thankful that we can lean on you for all things, even when life feels hard or out of control. You are our refuge. God, help us to trust in you. Help us to trust your plans for us, and help us to be obedient in times of joy and even in the times of suffering. Lord, we pray for those who are in the valleys of life right now. We pray that they might find peace and healing, and that their strength come from you and you alone. We pray for the brokenhearted, Lord, and ask that they feel your presence. Jesus, fill our hearts with your peace, with your love, and maybe even joy, no matter what we will face today, and give us the energy to find support from others and know when that support is needed. God, we give you praise always. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.